own of the Resistance Front alliance with Palestine as its compass.
This is not from today. Since 1979, Imam Khomeini set this day for us to gather every year to the support of Palestine, liberation of Palestine from river to the sea, and also for the support for all the oppressed people all over the world.
Quds Day has proven to be more than just a celebratory occasion. It is a day that unifies people and brings them together around the Palestinian cause.
The crowds that gathered in solidarity with Gaza to commemorate this day have proven the wisdom of the Islamic Revolution in Iran by establishing an international day for Al-Quds as a constant reminder for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands of protesters have flocked to central London on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan to honour the call of International Quds Day. The annual event was established by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1979 to express solidarity with the Palestinians and inculcate a Muslim-led opposition to Zionism.
With the ongoing genocide in Gaza unfolding before the world's eyes, this year's protest has taken on extra significance and emotion. It's because people are standing up to a Zionist supremacist entity which has thus far murdered over 33,000 people while still not being able to destroy the capabilities of the resistance.
Due to its popularity, many attempts have been made by pro-Israel groups to ban the Al-Quds rally. And this year, these lobbying efforts fall within the wider context of Zionists and their agents at the top of government trying to get all Palestine marches banned since last October. Efforts that have thus far been resisted by police and other elements within the establishment. Those on the march steadfastly reject any attempts to ban it.
It's very contradictory. In a country that promotes freedom of speech around the world, human rights and democracy around the world, they want to stop people from protesting. Not only these issues, but many other issues. And it's our duty as citizens of this country and the West to continue supporting through democratic means and protest the cause of Palestine.
When you look at the counter-demonstrators, they're a hopscotch of people, Zionists, far-right, British nationalists and so on and so forth, extreme-right, nasty elements of British society. They're all on that side. So if you want to ban anyone, ban that lot. We're very representative of British society, especially London society. We're white, black, green, brown, every religion, every colour you can imagine, we're all here.
I'm here to show solidarity with the people in Gaza especially who are suffering genocide, and also show solidarity with our brothers and sisters of all faiths and none who are calling upon our government to uphold international law.
The people of Gaza have won the admiration of the world with their steadfastness against this unprecedented genocide, but as they stand on the brink of a deliberate famine engineered by the Zionist entity, it has scarcely been as important for the voice of the world at rallies like Al-Quds Day to shout loudly for justice and liberation for Palestine. Issa Kadhimi, London.
اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
July 12, 1983, Place Hosseinia Jamaran, Tehran. The prophets held these two jobs, the spiritual job to extricate the people from captivity of the carnal soul and from the captivity of the clutches of the oppressors. These two tasks are the jobs of the prophets. When a person observes His Holiness Moses and His Holiness Abraham and things that have been quoted in the Quran from these two prophets, he notices that they held these same two positions. One was to invite the people to monotheism and another was to rescue people from under oppression. If in the teachings of His Holiness Christ, peace be upon him, this job is less noticeable, it is because His Holiness Christ did not live for long and had less contact with the people, otherwise his style was the same as that of His Holiness Moses and all the prophets.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. On the subject of the holy month of Ramadan, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "Strive to purify yourself in the holy month of Ramadan." The sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is in fact a recommendation for us to look at our conducts and reform our soul. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Ramadan is the month of God and the month of repentance." The great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, has written in his 40 Hadith, that is the famous book of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, that repentance is the referral from the nature to the self-spirit after that the glory of spirit was being veiled in the darkness of nature because of the sins and the disobedience.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi.
You know, God loves the penitents. The prophets always invited men to penitence, which is a way toward evolution and gaining the true completion. Penitence is the most beautiful and vivid way to make an apology. In a narration, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, "In Ramadan, God orders the angels to prepare and arrange the heaven for those who fast and close the doors of hell to them and do not open them till the end of this month. And he orders Jibra'il to descend and closes the path of evil to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order that the devil cannot corrupt their faith and fasting." Although there is always a way for repent and referral to God, but the holy month of Ramadan is the spring for repentance. In this month, its acceptance is vastly provided, and that is, you know, a great opportunity. And again, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said in another saying that God asks during Ramadan, "Is there anyone who wants his repent to be accepted?" These narrations signify the great opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us in this holy month to return to Him and purify our soul. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. Until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
in the limelight.
The Zionist regime military admits grave mistake in killing of 7 aid workers. Interim results of a 72-hour investigation revealed the aid group had shared information with the military about the convoy. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, the Israeli regime military has said that its troops made a grave mistake in targeting a humanitarian convoy with a series of air strikes that killed 7 international aid workers recently. The deaths of workers for the World Central Kitchen, which included 3 Britons, an Australian, a Pole, a Palestinian, and a dual US-Canadian citizen, have been widely denounced by governments and organizations around the world. The aid workers were killed in 3 consecutive strikes by the Zionist regime drones on the WCK vehicles, which were delivering 100 tons of food aid to Deir al-Balah warehouse. In response to a preliminary investigation into the attack by the Zionist regime army, the WCK demanded an independent commission to investigate the killings, saying the Israeli regime military cannot credibly probe its own failure. Recently, the interim findings of the investigation revealed that the WCK had correctly alerted the army about its convoy and that the vehicles were clearly branded with the organization's logo, but this information had not been cascaded down the chain of command. Yoav Har-Even, a retired military officer who led the investigation, said that the Zionist regime military drones could not recognize the WCK logos at night and called the strikes a grave mistake and a breach of the army's standard operating procedures. According to Har-Even, Israeli forces mistook one of the WCK staff who was carrying a bag for a gunman. He claimed the forces that conducted the strike did not know they were striking WCK vehicles. They were convinced that they were targeting Hamas operatives in vehicles. WCK CEO Erin Gore described the apologies from the Zionist regime's military as cold comfort for the victims' families and WCK's global family, adding that the organization's work remains suspended. In a statement in response to the investigation, the WCK said that it was clear that the Zionist regime military had deployed deadly force without regard to its own protocols, chain of command, and rules of engagement. It read, "Without systematic change, there will be more military failures, more apologies, and more grieving families." Recently, U.S. President Joe Biden warned the Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that continued U.S. support for Israel was contingent on Israel taking specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. The attack has wiped out WCK's entire operations team in Gaza, prompting the organization to suspend its operations. Since the start of the Zionist regime's genocide against Palestinians in Gaza, the organization has provided at least 43 million meals to Palestinians in Gaza through aid delivered by land, sea, and air. The World Central Kitchen is a critical organization feeding 500,000 people each day with hot meals, a media spokesperson for the World Food Program in Gaza said, adding, "We can't afford to lose that."
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. What a beautiful persona is the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I believe we cannot find personality which is as comprehensive as Imam Ali alayhi salam's. Now, the comprehensiveness of Imam Ali's universal persona, of course, is because of the comprehensiveness of the universal persona of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And, you know, when it comes to all of the divinely appointed Imams, alayhimus salam, peace and blessings upon them all, they had comprehensive personalities, but certain Imams had to face different challenges in their respective eras. It seems like Imam Ali alayhi salam had to face all of the various different challenges that the different Imams had to face in their respective eras. And so because of that, we have more information, or we have more, you know, forms and ways of guidance in different aspects in Imam Ali alayhi salam as compared to some of the other Imams, you know, who weren't faced with certain specific dilemmas that Imam Ali alayhi salam had to face. You know, one of the things that despite Imam Ali facing so many of these trials and tribulations and hardships on behalf of the people, you know, and the conditions when he lived, He never gave up giving thanks to the Almighty Allah. So despite all of the trials and tribulations, despite all of the hardships, despite all of the difficult wars or the betrayal of the people, you know, or the loss of loved ones, such as Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, or the loss of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or the loss of Shaheed Hamza or Shaheed Jafar al-Tayyar, peace and blessings upon them both. Despite all of this, you know, and for example, the hunger and the thirst of the Shaybe Abi Talib, the valley of Abu Talib, alayhi salam, when the Quraysh and the polytheists did a social and economic boycott upon the Muslims. Despite all of this, we never find that Imam Ali alayhi salam was ungrateful. Matter of fact, in every single place or corner or every single, you know, setting or opportunity, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam was always giving thanks to the Almighty Allah, you know, to the point where he says that, you know, you should always be thanking the Almighty Allah for his bounties and blessings. But he says something really interesting, of course, which is a part of his persona and that we need to inculcate. He says that the best form of thanksgiving for every single one of the bounties and blessings that Allah has given you is to restrain yourself from things that Allah has prohibited. You know, to restrain ourselves from things that are haram. This is one of the ultimate forms of thanksgiving, something that we would have never even thought of if it weren't for Imam Ali alayhi salam. A very comprehensive, beautiful, profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائك بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
When
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
In explaining the words which Quran says, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, the other witness to the Risalat of Muhammad, to this process of revelation of the Quran, is the one who has عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, the knowledge of the book. What is this kitab? Because even when you look at the ayat about the story of Prophet Sulaiman and his minister, his wasi Asif Barqi, also he has been described there as somebody, woman indahu ilmun min al kitab, partial knowledge of the book. What is this kitab and book? You know, what does it refer to? And this is where we have to realize it, that when we look at the Quran, you know, the word al-kitab is used in different meanings. Sometimes it means the Quran. Sometimes, according to the context, it might refer to the revealed book of that time, which was sent to that prophet. But there are places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the term al-kitab as a symbol for the knowledge that Allah gave to those who are chosen ones. It doesn't necessarily refer to a kitab, a book as such. Rather, kitab becomes the symbol of knowledge. For example, if you look at the ayat in Surah Maryam about the birth of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, you will see that right few days after his birth, within that first week of his birth, when Maryam comes back with the newborn among her own people, people were shocked. A lady who is not yet married, how does she have a newborn child? They started to question her. And Quran has this narration. This is not a hadith, this is not a history, where they said, you come from a very noble family. What happened to you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told Maryam, don't worry, we will take care of your honor and dignity. Whenever people ask you questions, just point to the baby. The baby is still in the lap or the cradle, just a week old maximum. And when she pointed to Isa, they said, are you taking us as a joke or what? Why would we talk to the baby? And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the power to Isa, a newborn, to speak. And he says, what does he say? He says, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. It's a longer statement, but the first three important statements are there. Number one, he says, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if letting them know that a time will come when people will say, I am Ibnullah. This is ilm-ghayb in infancy. And we have a problem with ilm-ghayb of the Prophet and the Imams. He's still an infant, but he's making clear, listen, I never claim to be the Son of God. Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second statement, Atani al-Kitab, he has given me a book. When did Injil was revealed to him? When his bi'sat started, when his mission started, Injil came, the revealed book, the scripture came later on. Was Isa born with Injil? Did he have a book there? No. He says, I am the servant of Allah, Atani al-Kitab, he has given me book. Book here symbolizes the knowledge. I have this special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا, and he has made me a Nabi. A Nabi can be a newborn, a Nabi can be 40 years old, a Nabi can be 80 years old.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The Palestinian struggle to liberate their country stands as one of the most enduring and contentious resistance movements in modern history. At its heart lies the issue of occupation, with Israel's presence in Palestinian territories being a source of deep-seated grievances, violence, and international concern. The roots of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with the rise of the Zionist movements advocating for the establishment of a so-called Jewish homeland in historical Palestine. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, issued by the British government, lent support to these aspirations, laying the groundwork for the eventual creation of Israel in 1948. The events surrounding the creation of Israel in 1948, known as the Nakba, or the Catastrophe, marked a pivotal moment in the history of the region. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced from their homes and became refugees as a result of the conflict between Israeli and Arab forces. In 1967, Israel launched a strike against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, in what became known as the Six-Day War. Supported by its Western allies, including the United States and Britain, the Israeli regime occupied the West Bank, including East El-Quds, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, and the Golan Heights. This marked the beginning of Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories, which continues to this day. Palestinians tried all diplomatic and legal ways to end the Israeli occupation over the past seven decades. In the early 1990s, efforts were made to negotiate a peaceful resolution to allow Palestinians to have their own state. Known as the Oslo Accord, it never put an end to the Israeli aggression, as the regime continued settlement expansion in the occupied territories. There were other deals, including Camp David, which never resulted in peace and only emboldened Israel in its atrocities against Palestinians. Throughout its occupation of Palestinian territories, Israel has committed all kinds of atrocities against Palestinians, including massacres and non-stop human rights abuses, such as land confiscation, home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, and excessive use of force against Palestinian civilians. The Palestinian resistance to the Israeli occupation has taken various forms. It started from peaceful protests to civil disobedience. But with major world powers' unconditional support for Israel, under whose influence even Arab countries started normalizing ties with the regime, Palestinians found no alternative to armed resistance to achieve their rights. Palestinians decided to take up arms and fight for the liberation of their territory, with groups such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad gaining prominence in the popular struggle.
What do you think? Do you advise me to continue as a slave? It's a right which has been granted for us who are living under occupation. That the time the diplomacy and politics fail, it's the right of those people who are living under occupation to defend themselves with all means. The victory has to be snatched, especially when you are facing such extremist, murderous, criminal leadership of your enemy.
On October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance fighters launched their biggest operation yet, a massive and deadly response to over 70 years of Israeli atrocities against them. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza rained down on the occupied territories. The projectiles reached as far north as Tel Aviv and as far east as Al-Quds. Shortly after, Palestinian fighters stormed towns in the south, launching deadly attacks and taking more than 200 captives, including military personnel. The 10-hour Al-Aqsa flood operation dealt a humiliating blow to Israel's much-touted military and intelligence system. Shortly after the operation, the Israeli military launched a massive strike on the besieged Gaza Strip that has killed more than 30,000 people, most of them women and children, so far. The Israeli regime, encouraged by the U.S. and Western allies' support, outlined three major objectives for this onslaught on Gaza.
I have three goals. One goal is to defeat Hamas, utterly defeat and destroy Hamas. The second is to bring back our hostages. And the third is to ensure that we don't have a similar threat in the future from Gaza, and that what happens in Gaza is good for Israel, good for Palestinians, good for the Middle East. And to do that, we need to demilitarize Gaza and de-radicalize Gaza. We cannot have, it mean for the foreseeable future, Israeli overriding military responsibility.
The Israeli regime has not only failed to achieve the goals, but also was forced to negotiate with Hamas on a ceasefire. The failure to achieve these goals has not only exposed the limitations of Israel's military prowess, but has also highlighted the resilience and the determination of Palestinian resistance forces.
There is no doubt that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood represented a success for the resistance movement, a success in carrying out a large-scale operation without the enemy being able to take action preemptively. This operation succeeded in seizing the entire Gaza positions within just hours. This is undoubtedly a great achievement, but here's the question. Was there any expectation for the enemy's reaction? Certainly. It was expected that there would be a reaction, but it is the nature of the occupation. It kills you, seizes your land, arrests you, and imprisons you. For example, in the West Bank in 2022, before the operations, the number of martyrs was about 500. The number of wounded people who were taken to hospitals exceeded 3,000. We are talking about thousands of prisoners. Under this occupation for 75 years, you have two choices. Either you do nothing and it continues to kill you, capture you, and seize your land, or you resist and the enemy will continue the aggression. But the message will be conveyed that the Palestinian people are still adhering to their right to resist, that the enemy is paying a price for the occupation.
Operation Al-Aqsa Flood marked a significant turning point for the Palestinian people, showcasing the harsh reality of Israeli occupation to the world. This operation not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for some 17 years. Prior to this operation, Arab states were moving towards normalizing ties with Israel, overshadowing the Palestinian cause. However, the Gaza war that ensued the October 7th operation has shifted global attention back to the long-standing struggle of Palestinians for freedom over the past seven decades. It's been a stark reminder of the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Despite Israel's military might and reputation, the war in Gaza has been perceived as a humiliating defeat for Israel on multiple fronts. Public opinion worldwide has increasingly turned against Israel, as images of civilian casualties and destruction in Gaza have circulated widely, shedding light on the brutality by Israeli forces, which left no safe zone in Gaza, hitting even hospitals and UN refugee shelters. The October 7th operation stands as a testament to the power of Palestinian resistance, showcasing how a small and determined movement can withstand the might of the Israeli army, backed by the U.S. and other Western countries. This operation highlighted the unwavering resilience of the Palestinian people and emphasized that resistance is not only a means of survival, but also a powerful tool in securing their right to self-determination. The ability of Palestinian fighters to hold their ground against one of the most advanced armies in the world has not only defied expectations, but also exposed the limitations of military might in the face of steadfast resistance. The refusal to surrender in the face of overwhelming odds sends a powerful message that the Palestinian people will not be silenced or oppressed, but will continue to fight for their rights and their dignity.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners from all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan, trying to learn how to read the Quran beautifully, fluently, with tajweed rules. We really welcome you all. We have brothers Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, and Hussein Akbari with us today in this session. I really, really welcome. Salam Hussein, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein, next Hussein, two Hussein we have today. Hussein, how are you?
I'm fine.
Alhamdulillah. So, Hassan, how is it going?
Well.
Alhamdulillah. For what?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So, everyone is great and energetic. Hope you are ready, brothers and sisters. Today, inshallah, we will be talking about Ayah 79, Surah Al-A'raf. So, brothers and sisters, what are you waiting for? Surah Al-A'raf. On what page? Let them know. Huh?
160.
Page 160, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 79. So, everybody ready? Let's listen to a recitation, then we'll get back.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fatawalla anhum. وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فتولى عنهم وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين. Prophet Salih alayhi salam abandoned them, his people. Yes? After the people denied him time and again, and they asked Allah Almighty's Azab, they were kind of disrespecting their Prophet. They were saying, hey, ask your Lord to send us the Azab that you just promised us. They denied. They asked him for miracles, and after even Prophet had shown them the miracles, they
refused to believe.
And then finally, they asked, they said, ask your Lord to send us an Azab. Yeah, to hit us. Then an earthquake
struck
and hit them. And they were all killed in their houses. So, in this ayah, فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ, so he, the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, abandoned them to their faith and said, O my people, certainly I communicated to you, I delivered to you the message of my Lord, رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي. رِسَالَة is the message. It means the message. رِسَالَة also means a chapter. Yep. رِسَالَةَ رَبِّي, the message of my Lord, and I was well wisher, وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ. When we say you should listen to nasiha of the elders, it means you should listen to them when they wish well for you. They are well wishers. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ, but you did not like well wishers. That's why you didn't believe. That's why you didn't respect. That's why you deserved to be punished. Yeah?
Yes.
All right. So, Hassan, read this ayah once for us. Then, inshallah, we'll pay attention to the tajweed points as Hassan reads. Everyone, listen. Let's find the tajweed points. All right. Hassan, you start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنت.
فتولى عنهم وقال يا قومي لقد أبلغتكم رسالات ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
أحسنت. One very important point. It was great, Hassan. Thank you. Is a great point is that you have to pay attention to the a, e, u sound.
Yes.
He intentionally made some mistakes so that we can
fix
that. Fix it. All right. Now, risalata rabbi or risalati rabbi. No. Risalata rabbi, which actually, Hassan, you know that if we pronounce the a, e, u, like wrongly, if we replace them, a word has an A, we read it with an E sound. Yeah?
Yeah.
Risalata, if we read it risalati, it completely
changes the meaning.
So Hassan, let us know that be careful not to make these mistakes because it changes the meaning. Yes, Hussein?
Yes.
All right. The second point is تَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ. Make sure the lam is pronounced with a light sound or heavy sound. تَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ or فَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ.
Light.
Lightly. Only the word Allah, yes?
Yes.
Whenever al-fatha comes before, it is pronounced with an Allah and Allahumma. The rest of the words that have lam, they are not pronounced that heavy sound. All right?
Yes.
All right. فَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُمْ. Read it, Hussein.
وَقَالَ.
Yeah. قَالَ. It has a heavy sound, right? One of the heavy letters or no?
Yes.
All right. So there are, how many letters are there in Arabic that you need to pronounce them with an A sound, with a heavy sound? Not A sound. How many letters are there?
More than 10.
More than 10?
Yes.
How did you say that?
I don't know. I just said.
Just guess?
Is it correct?
Yes. So there are?
10.
Let me say them and you count.
Yes.
Ten or more
okay,
than ten.
Okay, sir.
Kha.
One.
Ra.
Two.
I read them with an aleph so that the heaviness becomes clear. Khalidin. Rahim, for example, or Raziq.
Yes.
Raqi.
Okay. Sabirin. Dawala Dallin. Taha. Zalimin. Yes. Ghafilin. Qadir. How many letters?
Eight.
So eight heavy letters we have.
What about Ayn, sir?
Ayn is a light letter. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You don't read it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Have you ever heard a reciter reading that way?
No.
Alameen. You've never heard a reciter reciting Ghafilin. Ghafilin, right?
Yes.
That's the beautiful way to recite it. Yaha, Hussein?
Yes.
So, these L letters, whenever you have an aleph with them, I mean alif mat with them, try to read them with an A sound, not an A sound.
Yes.
Of course, the letter Ra and the letter Lam, these are like temporary heavy. Alright, sometimes they are pronounced lightly as well. Alright?
Yeah.
Sometimes heavy.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضره غرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
Now, ya qawmi, wa qala ya qawmi, laqad,
qal qala.
Very beautifully, he has learned the heavy letters. Qal qala. Yep.
Yes.
So, laqad. The letter dal, look at the next word. Ablaghtukum. Laqad ablaghtukum.
Again, qalqala.
Qalqala. So what do we mean by qalqala?
To produce a bouncing sound on five letters.
What are those letters?
The group is qutbajat letters.
Qutbajat.
Individually, qaf, ta, ba, jim, dal.
Alright. Hussein, can you repeat them? Which letters? Qaf.
Qaf. Ta. Ba.
Ba.
Jim.
And? Dal. So these five letters, whenever they appear saakin, you pronounce an echoing sound with them. How do you say that, Hussein? Hassan, for example, La. Qad. Read it.
La. Qad.
Qad. Very beautifully echoed sound. MashaAllah. La. Qad. Ablaghtukum. So. رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا ولكن لا. You merge them. What is this rule called?
إدغام.
إدغام. إدغام with غنة or without غنة?
Without غنة.
Without غنة. You do not extend the sound of لام. ولكن لا. No. ولكن لا. Very fast. Alright? But not furiously. ولكن لا. Should I smile and read? وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Good. So, time to recite this ayah. I hope everyone is listening and trying to repeat and join us. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
Any questions?
No.
Let's read this ayah. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
فتولى عنهم وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم.
فتولى عنهم وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم
ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, for being with us in this session. That's all from us for today. See you in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Hassan Hussein, Fawad, and the next Hussein Akbari. Thank you so much for being with us in this session. Allah bless you. See you in the next session. So, thanks to IRB English Radio as well and Sevier International School too. That's all from us for today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Dozens of civilians are killed in the latest Israeli attacks in Gaza, where the death toll has surpassed 33,200.